Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Cool, my wife was at a Republican women's luncheon in Kalispell the other day and got to talking with a young lady who is planning a celebration of life for the one and only Charlie Kirk here later today in Kalispell. And by the way, Butte is also hosting a celebration of life for Charlie Kirk later today as well. But what was really cool was, you know, my wife and this young lady get to talking about, you know, the Charlie Kirk celebration of life and then getting the information to me so we can help promote this celebration of life for Charlie Kirk that's going to be taking place at Sykes Diner later today. But then, you know, more importantly than just sharing the information with the fact that this event is taking place later today, more importantly, my wife was like, no, you need to call into the show because people need to hear from you on why for a young lady, who I think she's just right out of high school, a young lady named Gracie Stogsdale, why a young lady like you right out of high school is planning something like this, why this event is so important to you. So here in just a few minutes, that young lady is going to call into Montana Talks, and we're going to get a chance to hear from her about this event taking place later today. But yeah, it's one of the first Montana towns that Charlie Kirk first visited as a teenager. He was a teenager when he was just starting Turning Point USA, and now Kalispell, of course, planning a big celebration of life for American patriot Charlie Kirk here later today. Celebrations of life for Charlie Kirk have taken place on the University of Montana and Montana State University campuses, along with other towns across the state. And today, this young lady named Gracie Stogsdale helping to lead an event in Kalispell. That'll be at Sykes Diner from 4 to 7 o'clock this afternoon and into the early evening. Folks can bring their own chairs. They can bring an American flag. They can bring a candle. You name it. They say that we will be remembering Charlie as he lived. A husband, a father, a patriot, and a servant of Christ. In Butte later today as well, as I mentioned, I got this note from Cameron Moylan that they've got a prayer vigil taking place at Emma Park in Uptown Butte from 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. as well to remember, quote, our great friend and patriot Charlie Kirk, but also to pray for peace in our country. Bring your American flags. Anyone wanting to pray or make a short comment will be given the opportunity. So that was a note from Cameron Moylan in Butte, and I got a chance to catch up with him earlier as well. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks, and we'll get a phone call here from Gracie here in just a second. And then after that, we'll have the phone lines open for you if you got something you want to talk about here on this Thursday Montana Talks as well. 406-294-0970, or as always, you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Lots to talk about here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Gracie Stogsdale, 18 years old, just graduated high school. Now she's helping to plan this big celebration of life in honor of Charlie Kirk here later today. Gracie, great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for freeing some time up with us. And before I throw any questions your way, what do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Oh, thank you for having me, Aaron. I really appreciate the opportunity to publicize this. Yeah, so I organized the Charlie Kirk Memorial this afternoon. It's at Sykes Diner in Kalispell. We're going to utilize the parking lot after hours there, 4 to 7 p.m. We've got some great speakers lined up. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, you were telling me during the break that, that there's some folks that are on Facebook and elsewhere kind of messaging you saying, well, why are you doing it there? Why not at some big park, or why not somewhere else that might be able to handle more people? The moment I saw that this was being planned at Sykes Diner, I immediately understood the significance of Sykes as the location. What would you tell those folks who wonder why Sykes?
Yeah, I did want to address this. I actually was unaware that Charlie came to Sykes, which is kind of a beautiful coincidence. I spent 2 full days on the phone trying to get at another venue, something larger. I called churches, I called event centers, and it was difficult to even get anybody on the phone. I saw people suggesting, well, you could use Campus Church or you could use the fairgrounds, and the fairgrounds was going to cost almost $400 to rent for 3 hours. Canvas Church, had another event happening. Everywhere else either had something going on or just didn't want to host. And Sykes was gracious enough to offer the use of their parking lot, at no charge. And they've been incredible to work with. So I apologize for the size of the venue. And I apologize for the accessibility and everything like that, but I was on a time crunch and I had limited funds. So that's why I chose Sykes, and it's, it may not be perfect, but it's what we have.
Well, I think, sometimes things work out as they should. Sometimes the best plans are when they don't go to plan. Because, mm-hmm. Ray and Ladine Thompson and Sykes has served as host. They're such incredible patriots, and they've served as host to so many incredible patriots, including Charlie Kirk. So I just think it may not have been the plan you went with, but I think it's going to be even a much better plan. Why is this so important to do this celebration of life for Charlie Kirk, especially right now, given so much hatred and hostility? We're seeing teachers, we're seeing college professors openly celebrating the political assassination, the terrorist assassination of this young man.
I just think it's so important to remember who Charlie was in life. And obviously with the internet and everything, I know a lot of people saw his death, and that's just not how we want to remember him. He was a husband and a father and a patriot. And like you said, there's so much hatred and wickedness, and I'm a Christian, so I believe, Jesus Christ is Lord. And I know Charlie did, and I know I'm called to be a light to the world. And so kind of what I wanted to do with this is I'm not afraid of them, and I'm not afraid of the evil that's in the world, because I've won already, and Charlie did too. It says in the Bible that they will call good evil and evil good, and that's what we're seeing now. And so I really wanted to just give people a place to celebrate his life, to grieve, because grieving is, it can feel lonely, but you're not alone if you're feeling this weight. And just kind of want to celebrate his life and bring people into the fold and say, you're not alone, but here, we're going to celebrate what was beautiful about Charlie's life instead of the darkness that kind of has overshadowed the last week or so.
Earlier this year, I was able to give a speech at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner in Glendive, and I actually quoted Charlie Kirk in that speech, and I was talking about America's 250th birthday, and I didn't call it a turning point at the time, but really that's what I was talking about, was how our nation is at a turning point. Are we going to go down the path of being the free republic that we are for another 250 years, or are we going to go down a much more dangerous path? And I saw some new numbers that just came out this morning in the Unleashed Prosperity Hotline. 41% of Generation Z supports political violence. That's almost half of this young generation thinks that political violence is okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. I mean, just the indoctrination on college campuses and even in high school and middle school. We as the right have kind of let the left infiltrate those. We can say don't go to college, but people will still go to college. So we kind of got to, we got to take back, education and make it, it should be education and not indoctrination. But, I'm ashamed of my generation in that respect. And I really think, Charlie had a quote that said, when people stop talking, bad things happen. And that's where I'm at with it, is it can be so easy to be angry at those who would celebrate his death, but it's not them. They don't know what they're doing. It is the evil and all the things they've been told to believe. They don't truly understand it. They're ignorant as much as we are as to, you know, the true nature of the things that they're being told. And it's so easy to hate them, but that just makes us more like them. We've got to be different. We've got to be loving and compassionate and be willing to talk the way Charlie was, instead of just shutting everything down and, you know, saying, you know, we're on this side and you're on this side. You know, that's not what Charlie wanted at all. And it'd be dishonoring to his memory for us to draw that line.
Yeah, so well said here. 18 years old, Gracie Stogsdale. Gracie, if you can, I got to take a quick break here. Stay with us on the phone lines. I want to come back to you right after this. And then if you want to jump in on the conversation or you got something you want to talk about, you can give us a ring as well. 406-294-0970. Back to Gracie right after this with Montana Talk. Stand by.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking with young Gracie Stogsdale here, 18 years old. She's helping to put on this celebration of life for Charlie Kirk in Kalispell later today. And there's more events in the days and weeks ahead that I'm hearing about all across the state of Montana as well. But, you know, she mentioned just being so disappointed in so many of her generation. You know, I mentioned these numbers from the Unleashed Prosperity Hotline, which is put together by Steve Moore, who is a former Wall Street Journal editorial board member, and he was on the Trump 2016 economic advisor team as well. Yeah, 46% of Gen Z supports political violence, which is a huge number. Apparently, 35% of millennials, 33% of Gen X, and 27% of boomers, according to these numbers. And I shared it at x.com/Aaron Flint. But I do have to say, though, that Gracie, your generation and what I think is the majority of your generation has me so optimistic and, frankly, inspired. You know, Charlie was several years younger than me, but yet so much greater than me, right? And so I'm so inspired by so many of these young people that are coming up right now through the ranks, and especially listening to you and how well-spoken you are, that it is so encouraging to know that there are people far better than us that are coming up through the ranks right now, and people like you. And Gracie, I what I did during the break, too, is I was like, you know, I mentioned how I quoted Charlie Kirk back in March in Glendive at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner. So then I thought, well, I need to pull up. What did I quote Charlie as saying? Charlie Kirk posted these numbers on X, and this was back in probably January or February. And he was quoting, he was showing the numbers. Trump approval rating by age, 18 to 39-year-olds, 60% approved of President Donald J. Trump. And this was early on in his term. And basically what I was pointing out is what Charlie Kirk was pointing out, is that the next generation wants a country. And actually, I think this is what he said. This is exactly what Charlie Kirk said. He said, the next generation wants a country and a future. Their parents don't seem as concerned, but the kids are all right. I love that message from Charlie. The kids are all right. Not all of them, but most of the kids are doing all right. Gracie, your thoughts.
I completely agree with you. Charlie was so unique in that his mindset and his goals were set so much further forward. You know, you're a young person growing up in America, it feels like your elected officials don't want to talk about you because they're talking about Medicare and Social Security and foreign wars and all these things that, you know, you're like, I'm paying taxes, guys. I gotta afford things. Why are you spending my money and all of this stuff? What about my future? You know, and Charlie was looking at our future and the generations after us. You know, he wanted us to have better than our parents had and better than our grandparents had. And that was just not something anyone else was really talking about. They were so focused on the here and now. And Charlie's eyes were set so much further forward. And that's what I think endeared him to so many young people, is the fact that he cared so genuinely about all of us and wanted us to prosper and be better than our parents. And I think that we really do have an opportunity. Charlie's death, as much as it was tragic, it is a turning point, because we have this opportunity now to be better and be stronger and take up that microphone and make the country better than it was for our parents. We can make it better than that for our kids and for Charlie's kids. And so while I am disappointed by the loud people in my generation, I know that there is a silent majority who needs to not be silent anymore. And, you know, it's our job to kind of take that up and make the country better.
Well, and he may now be more powerful in death than even he was in life. And he was very powerful in life. What I then said in Dawson County right after sharing that Charlie Kirk post on X was I said, think about it. If all of this garbage of the last 4 years had not happened and had not exposed everything that the left and the Democrats actually stand for and want to do to this country, could we have lost another generation of young people? Because it just seemed like every generation was just moving further and further to the left. But I think because the left showed their hand and they went so far, their COVID lockdown garbage, They're going after innocent, but yet throwing the criminals back out on the streets. Boys can be girls. Girls can be boys. They went so far left that I think it opened up the eyes of young people, and our country hopefully is bouncing back further in the right direction now.
I hope so, too. You know, Charlie has, I've seen so much on social media about, you know, people going to church and registering as Republican after Charlie's death just because they were so overwhelmed by the disgusting response from those on the left at his death and towards his widow and his children. And I really think that, you know, Charlie's, I don't want to, you know, keep harping on this, but his whole thing was unity and talking to people and having civil discussion. You know, the principles that our country was founded on. And I really truly think that his compassion and his empathy and his gentleness towards those who maybe knew less about a topic than he did and who were just spouting talking points, he genuinely wanted to convince them of his idea. He had a quote, and I don't remember where it's from, but he said, I'm going to paraphrase here, but he said, "I always walk into a conversation assuming I'm wrong. And if you don't do that, then you lose every time." You know, you want to be convinced by the other person that, you know, you're wrong and they're right, because then you have a civil exchange of ideas. And that's what made Charlie so impactful. And that's still what makes him so impactful. The beautiful thing about the internet is that we have Charlie forever and all the things he believed and said. And so we can continue to share those with your friends and your family and the people you know that may disagree with you. You know, carrying on Charlie's legacy and continuing to talk and share and be compassionate, but not, you know, affirming, you know, just being compassionate and speaking truth in love.
Well, I was talking yesterday with Trey Kinnaman, who is the Turning Point USA chapter lead at the University of Montana now, and I linked up with their team a year ago when Lily was the chapter president, and they had a strong, great Turning Point USA chapter then, and Charlie Kirk was on the UM campus, did an event with now Senator Tim Sheehy as well. But he told me that now they have quadrupled, I think, their membership. And so what I think of is, if there was a crowd to greet Turning Point USA a year ago, I've got to think that all of those kids who maybe they heard about Charlie Kirk or they had a friend that followed, you know, Turning Point USA, I'll bet more of those kids that just saw him from a distance now are now getting fully engaged. I would imagine so. Your thoughts on that? And then also talk about security concerns for holding an event like this. I mean, heck, just, you know, the event's going to be in Kalispell later today, and I know you're encouraging folks to park at the mall that are going to be there because there should be a lot of people that show up. But, you know, just up the road in Whitefish, you have far left protesters. One of them has been issuing death threats against the Border Patrol agents there. There is a report from the Whitefish Police Department that that some of these left-wing protesters protesting the Border Patrol were throwing plywood at the Border Patrol vehicle. They were blocking the Highway 93 traffic. They were blocking Border Patrol vehicles from being able to leave their own facility. They've been doxing, trying to dox Border Patrol agents and follow them home. These people are completely freaking nuts.
Yeah, I completely agree. And as far as security goes, I've been in touch with the Council City Police and the Flathead County Sheriff's Department about traffic control and security. And I would just say, if you are a far-left protester, if you are behaving uncivilly, this is private property. Sykes Diner's parking lot is private property. You will be asked to leave. And if not, I'm sure there are plenty of people very, very angry about Charlie's death and very, very, very ready to just have the opportunity to escort you off the property. You know, people want to be able to do something. So I would advise you not to provoke anyone because it's just not going to be a good idea for you. But yeah, as far as that goes, I don't expect anything with that kind of gathering of people. I wouldn't expect anything too bad, but I want to be prepared. So just if you are coming and you're worried about security, be advised, you know, we have taken the appropriate measures.
Yeah. Gracie Stogs, again, great to have you on the show, and thanks for freeing up some extra time. Hopefully I'm not cutting into whatever you had planned next here, but just a couple more minutes before we get to the break, and then we'll let you run here. You're 18 years old. You just graduated high school. A year ago compared to today, what's the difference in what young people are saying to you, your friends that are saying to you? I'll bet a lot of your friends probably could have cared less about, you know, government and politics and the future of the country before. Has it changed now?
It definitely has. You know, a year ago, I was kind of not a pariah, but very different. You know, I've always been interested in politics. My first campaign was when I was 12 years old. You know, I was always, you know, I always knew more and just because I was a nerd and really, really into it. But, I've had friends reaching out to me after everything, especially after the 2024 election, but even in the last week saying they want to know how to get involved. You know, they want to know how to get better educated. You know, and I think that's so positive because they don't want to be activists. They just want to understand. And that's so difficult when there's so much information. So it's great to have people who know and great to have amazing resources like Turning Point, like Charlie and others who are just so free in giving information. So it's been really, really positive and beautiful for me to see, you know, the people that I know just wanting to get involved and wanting to know more and get involved in the political process, because that's such a beautiful privilege and duty and honestly that we have in this country.
Well, we will see you there later today. No fear. Gracie Stogsdale, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, look forward to seeing you there. Quick break on Montana Talks. I got a great email from Anna in Bozeman. She and her husband escaped communism. She sent me an email last night, why the left hates Charlie Kirk. I'll share that next. Plus, we got phone lines open for you.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
As the fall calf run gets underway shortly in the next few weeks, prices for cattle are expected to remain strong in our local livestock markets. But there are still a few key things producers should consider when sending calves through the ring to capture top dollar. Billings Livestock Commission's Ty Thompson.
Well, I think the most important thing is, and there's a lot of it goes on in Montana because of the auctions, you know, we get the light end off the video deliveries or the big end or such. So they stand around for 4, 5, 6 days and then bring them to town. The worst thing you can do is bring us a 15 to 20 day wean calf. It's not good for us at the auction representing them. It's not good for the buyer, order buyer to send them, or these local farmers. That's the worst thing you could do. Also, I always try and tell people, my personal feeling is if you're going to wean a calf, you might as well wean them and get into December. Weaning that calf for 40 days here now and coming in the middle of all those fat, shiny, balling calves in early November, you know, your eye appeal is such a big thing in selling them. And even though you've added value by weaning them, they look rough, they're pot-bellied, they just don't show as good as them. So if you're going to wean a calf, I would shoot for getting them all the way into December, and you'll definitely get paid for it. But just weaning them for 30 days or bringing them right in the middle of the balling calf run at the auctions anyway, I don't know that you get paid for it.
I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. We're going to get to a caller here in just a second. First, though, this was the email. Actually came in yesterday morning. I didn't get to it before we wrapped up the show, but this came in from Anna in Bozeman. And I've gotten to meet Anna and her husband, both great American patriots. They actually escaped communism and legally immigrated to America. And just like so many of the other legal immigrants that I've gotten to run into all across Montana, when I take the show out on the road, I get to meet so many great Americans. And I've gotten to meet so many legal immigrants who have escaped communism. And you know what they've all told me? They've all said, Aaron, there is nowhere else to flee to. We have to fight for freedom here in America. And right here in Montana. That's what they've all consistently said. I've said it before. But anyway, here's what Anna messaged me yesterday. The left hates Charlie Kirk because he dared to disturb their holy cows of experts. You could call it their golden cows of experts is what she's referring to here. Academia is the holiest cow of all holy cows. For academia, Charlie did what a boy who yelled the emperor has no clothes did to the so-called smartest and most qualified experts in Anderson's fairy tale. Charlie, with no formal degree, demonstrated that intelligence and common sense logic overpower fancy academic titles of DEI hires. And then Anna adds this, socialism is the system for losers who know that they cannot succeed based on meritocracy and hard work. Charlie's opponents are socialists. This is why they were so desperate to silence him that they murdered him. That was from Anna in Bozeman. Let's go now to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, an issue that you're talking about related to the Charlie Kirk assassination, and that is that it was an issue in the Wall Street Journal here a few days ago, and it talks about, and this is something we've talked about for a while, but it really came up now, America's lost boys. And what the columnist asked is, what causes a young man, like the man who shot and killed or assassinated Charlie Kirk, to spiral from success towards loneliness, self-destruction, and violence? And it relates to the fact that we've lost maybe a good part of a couple generations of young men who have gone from being productive citizens to getting out of school, not taking jobs, not marrying, not having children, and just being lost boys who are really floating around there, not doing anything. George Will called them the basement boys, and that they're living in their parents' basement and not being productive at all. And it's just a real sad situation. And I thought I just want to bring this issue up, and maybe you guys can talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, no, great point. Yeah, and we see it carry out in our politics. They're probably some of the lost boys sitting in their, in the basement, that are threatening you and cursing you on social media, or they can't get off the couch and go work a job, but they can get off the couch to go attack Border Patrol agents, can't they? Great point. Yeah, Tom, I don't know if you, earlier this summer I was talking about it. I had a carload full of kids, and we were driving out to the lake, because all these kids had just graduated high school. So I thought, I always like a good excuse to get out on the lake. So I was like, yeah, let's go. I'll take all you guys out, before everybody scatters in a dozen different directions, trade school, college, right into the workforce, whatever. And so, yeah, let's all go hit the lake. And it just happened to be that Saturday morning as we were heading out to the lake, Charlie Kirk was guest hosting Fox and Friends Weekend Edition. And And he was talking about these lost boys. And he was talking about marriage and mating and mortgages and the need for young people to be able to get into homes and things like that. And anyway, I can't remember if this... Yeah, I think this was part of that conversation. I think it was Charlie Kirk and Will Kane. I think it was on the Fox and Friends that Saturday morning. And I've played this clip before, but since Tom brought it up, let me play it again for you. It's only about a minute long here. Let me see if I got it queued up right for you.
But we have to go through this first, which shows not just the U.S., but U.K., Canada, and France, and it's young men between the age of 20 and 24, that's what you see on your screen, who are choosing, it has to be the word choice, neither to work, look for work, or to get an education. So that number in the U.S. rising up to 10%, you can see in the U.K. it's up towards 15% of young men basically, Charlie, checking out.
They are checking out. They are the lost boys of the West. And this is worthy of a longer conversation. But really quick, they're checking out largely because the entire society has become hostile to them. They've been told that they were toxically masculine. You look at, for example, in the United Kingdom, they had an entire documentary, not even documentary, a movie called Adolescence that was all about that young white Christian boys are somehow a threat to the entire country. And the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, praised that movie as much-watched film for the entire country. We see it all throughout our nation as well. This is a major problem because it also is really surfacing, and we're seeing it in the dating pool as well. Marriage rates are down, fertility rates are down, and the emphasis of the point needs to be made. It's the young men that are voluntarily checking out of society. This means right. that their psychology is broken, Will.
Yes.
That means that their mindset is broken. We have economics problems, but it's something more than that. It is soul-crushing, which is why one of the things that has given me hope, I know you've covered this beautifully, is that young men are starting to go back to church. That is the most important thing. As they start to give more of their lives to Jesus Christ and put God first, they'll have more purpose and more why rather than checking out of society.
Yeah, and that was just part of that morning when Charlie Kirk was filling in on that Fox and Friends weekend edition. And by the way, that was the same morning where, as he was sitting on the couch filling in, during one of the breaks, his little girl ran to his arms and jumped up into his arms. And they shared that video that weekend as he was guest hosting Fox and Friends, which many of you have now probably seen as well. And, of course, they didn't show her face. And the reason they didn't, they never, if you see any photos of Charlie and Erica Kirk and their two little kids, they would never show the faces of their little kids. They're very proud of their kids. I'm sure they would be happy to show off their beautiful little children. The reason why they never showed the faces of their little children publicly was because they were very well of the radical, violent, hateful left that will even attack little kids. By the way, the same radical, violent, hateful left that is always out there preaching tolerance and love is love. And yet look at how hateful so many of them are in the wake of this assassination. Here's Vice President J.D. Vance. He was on Fox News last night. I think for about a 20-minute long interview.
You talked to the shooter's mother, you talked to the shooter's father, you talked to the local district attorney, you talked to the FBI director or the deputy director of the FBI. You look at every ounce of evidence that we have, and it is clear. This is a person who grew up in a pretty normal family, actually had a pretty good home life, who was radicalized by the far left, by the social networks of the far left, by the ideas of the far left, and got so far down the path of radicalization that he killed my friend. That is not a both sides problem. My friend is dead because of left-wing political radicalization, and if you want to cut that out, then be honest about it and look yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, and now you're seeing where they're trying to normalize this. They're trying to say, they're trying to just downplay these school teachers, public school teachers, these university professors, these folks who are cheering on and celebrating this assassination. They're just trying to downplay it now and say, and they're trying to normalize this. Well, speech is speech. I mean, the same people that told you to shut up and wear a mask and censored you
if you were sharing a news story about the Hunter Biden laptop, are the same people now, oh, well, speech is speech. Get the freak out of here. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, shortest break of the hour, and then we'll jump right into your phone calls. If you call in right now, we should be able to get to you before we run out of time. By the way, looking at the calendar, tomorrow on the show, our good friend, the rabbi from Bozeman, Rabbi Chaim Bruck, he's going to be joining us on the show. So that'll be coming up on Friday, Freedom Friday, right here on Montana Talks.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That didn't take long. Man, that didn't take long at all. Did you guys hear about the vice chair, the newly elected vice chair for the Montana Democrat Party? Just elected over the weekend. And these comments came to light that the vice chair for the Democrat Party, he was referring to a Republican woman member of Congress, and he talked on social media about throwing the B word down several flights of stairs. Yeah, I've got the story at MontanaTalks.com. But those comments were not the comments that have already now led to his resignation as the vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party. No, after he was elected, apparently he was fairly critical of Liberal Senator John Tester for losing the Senate race last year. So those comments are what led to his resignation. So in other words, you can talk about throwing a woman down several flights of stairs, and that will not get you thrown out of the Montana Democrat Party. But if you throw John Tester under the bus, that will get you thrown out of the Democrat Party. Back into the phone lines we go. Chris in Columbia Falls, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
I have a bunch of names here. Never forget, you know, KJJR has always been there for many of us who are allowed to get on here and speak out the truth, and even some of the ones who were contrary, you know, you handled them well. You know, so you had people like Carol that used to call in here, and Fred. Fred's been dressed down constantly by county commissioners and everything, you know. Shut up and sit down, Fred. You know, so they've survived, and these people Carol and Fred and Montana for multiple use. People like Clarence have given their time to bring this to a head. So, Gracie, I hope you're one of them. And I know Charlie Kirk, you know, he put his mark. And it's really just to help the country come back to its senses, you know. And you had county commissioners who were brave and bold and went to meetings at Outlaw Inn and Kavanaugh's, and even places that, you know, that were amazing, you know, that they seemed to just preach the truth, and they just wanted the truth. And there was lonely guys that used to sit near the door and pass out the citizen rule book.
You remember Velma?
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember Velma in Kalispell? Velma would call in not only to this show, but you know, Dave Berg back in the day, who really jump-started statewide talk radio.
They made a mark, you know. They made a mark, and they stuck true to it, and it's brought about this. And I hope it's lasting.
Amen. Well said. Yeah, and I like you, was so inspired by young Gracie there who called in earlier. But, yeah, Velma and Kalispell, man, she would always hammer this liberal judge, Don Malloy. And look what Don Malloy just did yesterday. He ruled against cattle ranchers in Montana's Paradise Valley. Judge Malloy has no problem with the liberals building big mansions in the Paradise Valley, but he goes against the ranchers in the Paradise Valley. And I just can't wait till President Trump's able to get some new judges on the federal bench here in Montana, because that guy, I'll just leave it at that. Kate, go ahead and send us that caller out of Dawson County. Oh, or did we lose him? All right, I was going to try to get to that newer caller first there. Looks like we might have lost Christian in Dawson County. I was really hoping to hear what Christian had to say there. All right, yeah, make sure we're letting folks know, you know, about staying on hold, et cetera, because I wonder if they assumed that they had been dropped. But shoot, I really wanted to hear what Christian in Dawson County had to say about Charlie Kirk, because, you know, I referenced being in Dawson County earlier this year and quoting Charlie Kirk at that event. All right, let's see. Now we're getting fairly short on time here. Another update to a story that I told you about yesterday. I told you yesterday a Billings public school teacher is now under investigation after allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I told you how a source close to the school district also told me that the teacher was sent home for the next week or so while the investigation is underway. After the show yesterday, I got an official response from a spokeswoman for School District 2, and she told me this. Basically, what she told me backed up and confirmed everything that we reported and told you yesterday. She said, quote, "Yes, we are investigating, and the teacher has been sent home while we investigate. That is all I can confirm right now." I don't know if you guys heard this part of the story yesterday, but the teacher is an English teacher at Skyview High School. And get this, he's a debate coach. And apparently he currently serves as president of the Montana Forensics Educators Association. Charlie Kirk, the popular young conservative commentator, was assassinated while hosting a public debate on a college campus. That's what he did. He showed up and peacefully debated people and allowed his opponents to get the microphone before his friends and supporters got the microphone. And here's a debate coach, public school teacher, allegedly celebrating the assassination of somebody who stood for peaceful, open debate. I mean, again, the new season of Stranger Things must be coming out here pretty soon, because we are back in the upside down once again.